Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Jesse Romero, one-man car. My partner, Dr. Dan Schneider, is off on doing some apostolic work. Welcome to Jesus 911. We're going to talk about all things spiritual warfare from a Catholic point of view. I just want to remind you that the month of April is a month of the Holy Eucharist. This month, you might make a commitment to go to Mass a little more frequently and spend some extra time before the Blessed Sacrament. And if you can get to Holy Mass daily, then make sure that you do a spiritual communion prayer every day, and also prayerfully send your guardian angel for you as well. Remember, Jesus waits for us in every tabernacle of the world. Let's go to him often. And so what's the prayer to send your guardian angel to Holy Mass for you if you can't go? Well, let me pray it with you right now. This is a beautiful tradition. Sending your guardian angel to Holy Mass for you if you can't go. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O holy angel at my side, go to church for me. Kneel in my place at Holy Mass where I desire to be. At offertory in my stead, take all I am and own and place it as a sacrifice upon the altar throne. At holy consecrations bell, adore with seraphs love, my Jesus hidden in the host, come down from heaven above. And when the priest communion takes, O bring my Lord to me, that his sweet heart may rest on mine, and nigh his temple be. Then pray for those I dearly love, and those who cause me grief, that Jesus' blood may cleanse all hearts, and suffering souls relieve. Pray that the sacrifice divine may mankind's sin efface, then bring me Jesus' blessing home, the pledge of every grace, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a prayer to send your guardian angel to Holy Mass every single day. Okay. Well, I want to talk today about just kind of give an overview of Catholic spiritual warfare. Just from beginning to end, just kind of give you the bird's eye view. You know, as Catholics, spiritual warfare is Christ-centered. It's not demon-centered. But by the same token also, we can't have our head in the sand and we can't deny the reality of the devil. It's part of Catholic teaching. The church has proclaimed that it's in the Bible, it's in the catechism, it's in many councils. And so, how do we fight the devil? Well, first of all, we have to realize that the devil's real, because if we think he's not real, we're going to lose the battle. And I remember it was C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity, where he actually said that, I think it's in chapter 7, and the Screwtape Letters. He said, the senior demon, who was named Screwtape, tells the young protege demon, Wormwood, he says, the most effective thing we can do to bring souls to hell is to convince people that Satan does not even exist. Close quote. So, dealing with the diabolical, this is extremely dangerous, and we face it daily with temptation at a very bare minimum, ordinary temptation. And we often lose in the fight without knowing, hence we fall into sin. Other ways people get involved, Catholics get involved in the diabolical. The number one reason why Catholics get entangled in the diabolical is they don't know their faith. So when they don't know their faith, they start making all kinds of mistakes. They get into the occult. They get into a life of drug addiction, alcohol addiction. They get into a life of sexual perversion. Those are the three main portals. And it all happens because people don't know their faith. You know, people joke in society about the devil. You know, he's a mascot on sports teams. Out here in Arizona, they call the Sun Devils. You know, the ASU college calls themselves the Sun Devils. I've never been to a game, nor do I intend to ever go to a game. You also have women that dress like, you know, the devil during Halloween. You have pictures of the devil on rap or rock album covers. They think it's a big joke. But let me tell you something. The devil doesn't think it's a joke. And as Catholics, we have to study and know what the church teaches about angels and demons. And the devil would like for you to think it's all a big joke. Let me tell you something. The catechism is very clear in paragraph 407. How the devil manipulates, how the devil impacts society. He does it through politics. He does it through education. He does it by teaching immorality. And he teaches it, he does it by social action. You want to see the devil's disciples right now in full display? Take a look at Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Occupy Wall Street. Okay, just three groups that I can name in my lifetime. Hey, even the KKK, even though they're irrelevant now. So the fact is, I remember Flip Wilson used to always make a joke. He was a comedian back, I think, in the 70s or 80s. He used to always say, the devil made me do it. And so a lot of people think it's funny, but it's not funny. It's the devil that wants to tell us that God's not real. In fact, it's the devil that wants to tempt us into atheism. So then that way people can turn away from God. In fact, I wrote a book on this. It's called Atheism is the Opium of the Elites, 50 Questions and Answers. This is precisely the number one attack, the way Satan attacks young people, is by making him believe that he doesn't exist. That's the catechism actually says that in paragraph 2123. And again, if we think that the devil and demons are fake, then we're not going to take care of ourselves or run away. And as a result, we're going to lose these spiritual battles. And if all else fails, at the very least, when you think about angels and demons, it should make you run to the cross. It should make you, you know, serious about your salvation. Because once again, if they cannot convince us that God is not true and that demons are fake because we're too faithful, then they will tell us there's no rush to convert. So what the devil will do, he'll try to distract us. There's no need to convert. No, you could stay the way you are. You're fine just the way you are. God wants you. He loves you just exactly the way you are in your sin, in your decadent lifestyle. And so the devil will distract us with television and entertainment and careers and sports and anything that's not of God. A lot of Catholics complain they can barely give the Lord an hour on Sunday. And they spend the rest of the 167 hours of the week basically ignoring God. And I'm going to tell you, the demons, they surely enjoy that, because they know that people aren't convinced to give their life to God. People are saying, yeah, you know what, I'll wait till I'm old and I'm ready to die, then I'll get right with God. Really? That chance may never happen. A lot of people that plan on, you know, giving their life to God at 12 midnight die at 11 p.m. So, yeah, a lot of people in Catholics and Protestants in this country, they call themselves Christians. But an hour a week of Mass on Sunday, that's an absolute bare minimum. And if you're not doing any more than that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to spiritually die very slowly, and you're going to endanger your soul. I'm going to tell you, the enemy, they're very serious. They want to ruin our lives. They want us to die in a state of mortal sin, and ultimately they want us to go to hell with them. That's where they're going to end up at. And so typically, we'll even see in cases of the worst level of attack, which is demonic possession, the end goal of a demon is suicide. And we're seeing a rash of suicide in society right now. Because if the demon can get a person to kill themselves, then they have a high success rate of getting the victim go to hell, as well as offending God by making his children take away the most valuable gift that he gave them, that's their life. And so demons want to ruin our life. And they use the things of the world to try to ruin our lives. They hate the fact that we have free will, that we can go to confession. God has always given us a second chance. We're like the prodigal son. But the demons made an irrevocable decision at the beginning of time. And so they're stuck. They're going to hell. But we human beings, we can turn against God. It's called sin, but we can repent. And God will always forgive us. And if we have contrition and firm purpose of amendment to change our lives. But demons can never go back to heaven. Demons can never go back to God. They chose to hate God. They were revealed God's plan when he first created them. And they were given a choice. And Lucifer, who was the highest of the angels, he chose not to worship God if God became incarnate. He wanted to worship basically himself. That's essentially pride. And so a third of the angels made this choice, and they made it for all eternity. The Catechism calls us, they made an irrevocable decision. So now the demons hate us for our free will. They hate God, the Father, for casting them down to earth from heaven. They hate Saint Michael, and they hate the angels for beating them up. They hate our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, who died for our sins and has given us a chance of salvation instead of living in sin like the demons. They hate the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen Mother, the one that fully cooperated with God's plan of salvation and redemption. And they hate the Virgin Mary because she's fully human, so she's of a much lower rank of intellect and power, and yet she's the Queen of Heaven and Earth and superior to the demons. That humiliates them. You know, demons hate each other, and they punish each other. The superior ones punish the inferior ones. There's wrath amongst them. And, you know, the spiritual world, for the most part, we can't see it. There's been saints and prophets and mystics in the Catholic Church that have actually seen and heard the spirit world. My name is Jesse Romero, Jesus 911, Wednesday's show. I'm giving just a good overview of Catholic spiritual warfare. Stick around. High-level Catholicism. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. This is Catholic Spiritual Warfare on Wednesdays. I want to remind you that the month of April is the month of the Holy Eucharist. Maybe in the month of April, you could spend some more time going to Holy Mass, spend some time visiting our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. So, you know, demons, they want to convince us that God is, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, and a lot of people, it's sad, a lot of people that are Catholics, are low-information Catholics, they're trying to seek contact with the spirit world. They go to seances, and they go to healers, and they go to psychics, and they go to shamans, and they go to, you know, medicine men. They go to, you know, curanderas. This is very dangerous as a Catholic. God has not given us access to that spiritual world, and God has given us access to Him and the saints through prayer. But most people can't have these experiences like some of the saint mystics, like Saint Padre Pio, you know, Saint John Vianney, Saint Teresa of Avila, and others. It's a gift. It's a gratuitous grace, which is a grace that's given by God, regardless of how much you ask Him. He's not going to give you that. That's not, God knows what you need. For example, if you start asking, Lord, I want the gift of bilocation like Padre Pio, He's not going to give it to you. God's going to give you what you need. And so many people ask things that are just wrong. So no matter how much we ask for, we're not going to get it because it's something that God chooses to give to us based on what we need. And it's part of His divine will. And so many people don't ask God for the most important thing. Lord, I want to be holy. I want to get to heaven. So many Catholics, they think there's something magical about, Lord, I want to get this gift and that gift. God's going to give you whatever gift he thinks you need. He knows you need. But if you start asking for mystical phenomena and spiritual experiences, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, you'll get mystical phenomena and spiritual experiences, but you're going to get it from the wrong guy, the devil. Because the devil's going to see that, wow, this guy wants to know about the preternatural world. So the devil will disguise himself as them. And he will give you these apparitions and phantasms. And he will give you these powers to have, you know, to see mystical phenomena. You're going to see the devil disguised like a saint or disguised like an angel, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. you know, most people think that the devil is the one that's constantly behind temptations, but this is not true. A lot of temptation just comes from our own fallen nature. The devil doesn't have to do anything. Demons don't have to do anything. We have a fallen nature. We have an inclination towards evil. Now, the devil is a fallen seraphim. He's an angel from the highest order of the choirs. He was the closest to God. Lucifer was an angel of light. And because of his pride and his envy, he's very prideful of God's power and authority. And since Lucifer no longer wanted to be the, you know, God's masterpiece in heaven in terms of the angelic choir, he revolted. And subsequently, these are the events of the fall. There was a battle against Saint Michael. Two-thirds of the angels, along with Saint Michael, they stood up to Lucifer, who revolted against God, who now we call Satan. And I'll tell you this event. It's crucial to the diabolical hierarchy and the basis of spiritual warfare. This is in fact a fight and a war, but it's different than how we typically, as Americans, how we view fights and war on Earth. So, the God created the angels, okay, out of nothing, ex nihilo. We know that Lucifer was the highest of them, within the highest choir. Again, theologians debate whether he was a cherubim or seraphim. Most of them believe he was a seraphim. There's at least 9 choirs of angels. This was given to us in the Middle Ages, I think in the 6th century. This was written by the church, and it's also in the Fourth Lateran Council. It's been declared by the Catholic Church as Dei Fide. We must believe in this. And all the angels, seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, powers, virtues, principalities, angels, and archangels, they're all ranked in their purpose and how spiritually close they are to God. So even the furthest choir is still very, very close to God. So when a third of the angels decided to revolt with their leader Lucifer because of pride and envy, because he thought that, you know, he wanted to be like God, if not God himself, two-thirds of the angels formed ranks under the archangel Michael. The word Michael means who is like God. And the story goes of St. Michael. It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. St. Michael heard Lucifer say that he was practically God. You know, St. Michael says, you know, who is like unto God? Obviously, because St. Michael knows that nobody's even close to God. There's only one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Lucifer responded, according to the church fathers, non serviam. That's Latin for I will not serve. I will not serve God. And so the chant of St. Michael and the good army was Quis ut Deus serviam, which that's Latin for who is like unto God, I will serve God. Now the word Satan, it comes from the Latin and the Greek, which means the accuser. So Satan is the original accuser ever since he was the Garden of Eden. You see that in the book of Revelation chapter 12. So Satan the accuser, when we sin, the devil does everything to get us to basically obsess over our sins. And he wants us, he relishes in the fact that we start beating up ourselves. We start beating on ourselves, should I say. And we selfishly become afraid of going to hell rather than repent and recognize our lowliness and weakness and turn to God out of love and focus on Him instead and ask for His mercy. Instead, we focus on ourselves and how bad we've been. So the devil tempts us to sin, and then he accuses us in our heads that, once again, he beats us over the head like a baseball bat with our own sin. That's why we got to be vigilant. We got to be alert. The Bible says we got to get up when we fall down. Go to confession. This is a sacrament of humility. And don't beat yourself up. Just when you fall down, get up and turn away from sin. Turn your back to sin and seek God's mercy. Seek God's mercy. Examine your conscience. Confess your sin. Have a firm purpose of amendment to change your life. And when you go to the, again, to when all this was started, the battle was fought, but it was an easy victory because of the good army. of the angels, they basically won. And so the angels who fell with Lucifer, we call them now fallen angels, or we call them demons now. And they also have ranks. Remember, they had a rank in heaven. So they fell in ranks and in the choirs that they were in even before. So this means that there are equal choirs or orders or ranks of angels. There are good choirs, and then there's equally bad choirs. Now we call them demons. So remember, some of the choirs stayed with God fully, and you won't find any demons in that choir. No demons in heaven. Because the demons were cast out and became sort of, the inversion of what they used to become. We now call them fallen angels. And their unimaginable beauty it just morphed. And now they got this unimaginable ugliness. But in the same way, they can still take the appearance of beautiful creatures, and they can tempt us. So remember, demons hate God, and they're sent to hell for a reason. And once they go to hell at the end of time, definitively, they're never going to be able to leave. And they want as many people with them as possible. So, picture some of the worst things that have ever happened on planet Earth. For example, like the Holocaust, the Armenian Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, abortions. Who is behind all this? Demons are. Because they're more horrible. They're more wicked than any human being. They just use human beings. And that way they cut you off from God. And remember, Satan personally tempted Eve and Adam in the garden. We all know the story. Demons use humans as useful idiots. And so the same way that demons fell, now mankind has fallen, starting with Adam and Eve. And we're exposed to sin. And we turn from God often because we have a fallen nature called concupiscence. We have this inclination towards sin. This is why we need God, the sacraments, prayer, Our Lady, faith. We're not perfect beings in this life. But God did design us. He made us for heaven. But we have to suffer and live through earth and have things like pain and sorrow. That's what makes us saints. Planet Earth is a boot camp to make us saints. Our bodies are not immortal anymore. And we're all going to die, 100% of us. And our souls are always with us. And when we die, remember, we're a body-soul composite. We're hylomorphic beings. So if we die and make it to heaven, please God, the resurrection of our bodies will occur. And we're going to get our bodies back in an immortal way to live with God in paradise once again. I mean, this is the goal of life for Catholics, to get to heaven. But here's the problem. We're stuck kind of in a living hell with demons having domain over this world. That's what the Bible tells us. It calls the devil the prince of this world twice, the god of this world once. So we know they can never win. They already lost when Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, we now have the opportunity, because now all the graces of Calvary have been unleashed and given to us, objective redemption. So we have the opportunity to go to heaven, but we must cooperate with those graces. And the demons absolutely hate the thought of this, that we can make it to heaven, because they lost their standing, and they know they can't pull everybody to hell. But the problem is, even though they're lost, they're still resisting and trying to take as many souls to hell as possible. Remember, the Catholic Church operates at three levels. We have the Church Militant, that's Catholics on earth. All the human beings on earth were fighting spiritually for our soul and the soul of others. We're the army of Christ. We're soldiers of Christ. And we're constantly under attack by the devil, the world, and our own disordered appetites. In most cases, it's temptation that we face, and suffering as well by other people. The second level of the church is called the church suffering, or the church penitent. Those are the holy souls in purgatory. They're purging. They're purging the effects of their sins that have already been forgiven, all the defects, all the disorders in the soul are being purged away. And there's millions of souls in purgatory that are in need of our prayers from the Church Militant. And once they get into heaven, well, they can pray for us now. But in heaven, their prayers will be even more powerful. Jesus 911. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. You'll hear more about Catholic spiritual warfare.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, one-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. Remember, the month of April is the month where we focus more and more on the Holy Eucharist by going to Mass more often, by going to the Blessed Sacrament more often, by doing spiritual communion prayers if you can't get to Mass, and by sending your guardian angel to Holy Mass to bring you the graces of Mass if you can't make it. I'm giving you an overview of spiritual warfare from a Catholic perspective. And so, as Catholics, the Church operates in three levels. Remember, the Church in heaven is called the Church Triumphant. These are the holy souls that made it to heaven, and this includes the canonized saints as well, as the communion of saints, all souls in heaven that may have not been canonized by the Church, but they're still in heaven. Because the Church doesn't canonize everybody who's in heaven. They highlight certain people, certain Christians, who definitely demonstrated a life of heroic virtue. So the question has to do with the Church militant. That's us, okay? We're the Church militant. How do we fight against the diabolical? Again, as I said, the demons fell in ranks from heaven. So as Catholics, when we're talking about the enemy, they have generals in Satan's army. It's a hierarchy and a monarchy with their general, Lucifer, at the top. And so the demonic hierarchy is divided into the reverse fallen order of the nine choirs of angels. So each demon is specifically in charge of a certain sin. You know, for example, that there's demons of lust, demons of wrath, demons of greed. We have the seven deadly sins. That's what they use against us. And again, the seven deadly sins can all be attributed to a specific higher-up demon working under Satan. And each demon, including the devil himself, who we reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name, they come from this fallen hierarchy of angels. So, here's the hierarchy, as I mentioned. Seraphim, the highest order, cherubim, and then thrones. They're the three orders in order from most to least powerful for the good angels. The next you have dominions, powers, and virtues. Then the next you have principalities, archangels, and angels. So these are the nine choirs of good angels. They're all under the command of Saint Michael the Archangel. He's their general. He submits to the Queen of Heaven, as well as all the angels, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all of them submit to God and his divine will. Angel, it means messenger, because in the Bible we usually see them delivering God's messages, such as the angel Gabriel, but delivering messages, that's not the only thing they do. They also protect us. What do angels do? Look at the guardian angel prayer. Light to guard, to rule, and to guide, those four things at the very least. They light our mind, or light our path. They guard us from demons and from, you know, physical injury as well, spiritual injury. Rule us. They try to rule us, follow the rule of life, and to light, to guard, to rule, and to, yeah, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom the love of God commits me here, be ever this day at my sight, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. Guide us in God's ways. As a Catholic, don't be curious and start going to, you know, satanic or diabolical websites and try to pronounce the name of these demons. Okay? I mean, you probably think, why is he saying that? There's a lot of Catholics that do that and get themselves in trouble. Or they say, I'm going to just, kind of as a joke, as a prank, I'm going to go to these occult websites and start saying some of these incantations or some of these summoning spells. Don't do that. That's very dangerous. Demons are lawyers from hell. Again, they're pure pride. Demonic pride is extremely strong. And they brag and they boast about what they do to us, to their generals and kings. So, in fact, during sessions, that's what when a priest prays over a possessed person, during sessions, for example, some of the minor demons will say that they are, that they're Satan. And they'll say that. I've seen it before. They'll say that they're Satan to scare people in the room, to scare the priest, when in reality, they're just lower demons. They're just trying to brag and scare you. I've seen this happen several times. Minor demons will tell the priest, "This is Satan," and another voice comes out. It's a demon voice. But a trained exorcist knows when he's dealing with the devil and when it's just a minor demon. And the reason all the demons, even all these lower level demons, they all wish to be Satan, who we reject, renounce, and rebuke in Jesus' name, because he's their father. And he's the figurehead for all the demonic activity. He's their leader. And he's pure pride. So that's something that they all desire as well. They desire to be like him, their father. And exorcists, when they get the name of a demon during session that they're dealing with, this gives the exorcist certain power over the demon. It weakens the demon when he has to give up his name, and the priest now commands them by name, and this shows his authority over the demon. And oftentimes you'll see, I've seen this before in sessions where, you know, the demon is a mute demon, or the demon is trying to hide, and the exorcist keeps on praying and praying and praying until the demons finally reveal their name towards like the very end of the session. So this is one of the critical pieces of information that an exorcist is trying to retrieve so that he can extract the demon. But remember, the only person that can do this is a Catholic priest with the authority of the bishop, because demons know he has authority. So, the rest of us rank and file, hoi polloi, Joe Sixpack Catholics. We're tempted by the devil, but the orders are passed down to specific demon or demons. They usually attack in multiples like gang members. So we're not just fighting the devil, but we're fighting thousands of demons throughout our lives. And this is not to scare you, because remember, Christ won the battle for us on Calvary. When Christ died and rose from the dead, the battle's been won. But we have to win the battle in our own lives, one soul at a time. Because demonic activity, they can't do whatever they please willy-nilly. It's 100% restricted by God. They have to ask God permission. They can't do whatever they feel like. God doesn't allow them. So some of you may ask, so how come God allows them to tempt us? Well, it's easy. Because God makes these demons become like our, think about boxing, they become our sparring partner. What does a sparring partner do to a champion? Makes them better. Makes them a better fighter. God allows these demons to become our sparring partners to make us holier, to sanctify us. And as we overcome these struggles, these temptations, these adversities, we become holier and we draw closer to God. But when we give in to these temptations, because we have free will, we can separate ourselves from God through mortal sin. And if we stay unconfessed and unrepentant, we can separate ourselves from God forever. So are we outnumbered? I'd say there's billions of demons commanded under Satan versus little old me. No. We're not outnumbered. But because 2/3 of the angels are with us as well as our constant protection, from our own personal guardian angels. So we have our own personal bodyguard. And even the most inferior angel can defeat a superior demon in the kingdom of darkness. And remember, for every three spirits, two of them are angels and one's a demon. So the good guys, they outnumber the bad guys. So the bad guys are a minority. And then on top of that, we have St. Michael to defend us. We should be praying to him in the morning and in the evening. And they, along with God the Trinity, We have everything we need to fight against the diabolical. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven called the saints. We should be praying to them throughout the day as well in our Catholic devotional prayers, because they're part of God's celestial court. They're always with you. They're, as the Bible says, they surround us like a great cloud of witnesses. And they can defend us when we ask, because we have free will. I've seen during sessions of exorcism, when the priests call the saints, St. Padre Pio, come to our assistance. St. Joseph, Terror Demons, come to our assistance. St. John Paul II, come to our assistance. It has a powerful effect on driving demons away. It hurts them. It torments them. Again, if you do not ask, they will try to defend you, but due to free will, you can ignore God's celestial court, the saints and angels, and you know, you could choose to live a life of debauchery. But don't do this. Pray to God. Pray to Our Lady. Pray to the angels and saints. This is the backup that we need. And also remember, pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Pray for them and ask them to pray for us as well. There's, the holy souls in purgatory have the power to pray for us. They can't pray for themselves. Also know this. The Catholic Church is the one true church. Demons hate the Catholic Church. And they especially hate the official language of the Catholic Church, which is Latin. Because they know that Latin is the language in the Roman Rite. Eastern Catholics have their own languages. But demons hate Latin because, again, it's the official language of the Catholic Church, and it has power over them. And I've seen in sessions of minor and major exorcisms, demons can't stand to hear Latin. It seems to be, I've seen it in action, it seems to be more efficacious than Spanish or English or any other language. And this is revealed basically, the data set demonstrates this, because the energumen, the possessed person, they show extreme diabolical manifestations when Latin prayers are recited over them, whether the priest does it silently or not. You're listening to Wednesday's Catholic Spiritual Warfare. One Man Card, Jess Romero, Jesus 911. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You'll hear more about Catholic Spiritual Warfare.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, one man car. My name is Jesse Romero, retired Los Angeles deputy sheriff, full-time Catholic lay evangelist. My motto is love God, save souls, and slay error. Talking about Catholic spiritual warfare, my partner, my Wednesday partner, Dr. Dan Schneider, is out doing some apostolic work. Demons hate the Catholic Church. They don't hate Islam. They don't hate Judaism. They don't hate Protestantism. They don't hate Hinduism. They don't hate Buddhism. They know that they're all man-made religions. They hate the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And most especially, they hate the church's language, Latin. Latin is one of the three languages that was posted over the sign of our blessed Lord as he died on Calvary on Good Friday. Our Lord, his name and his crime was put over his head in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So those are the three sacred languages forevermore. The church has adopted Latin as their official language. And again, diabolical manifestations are more powerful, and it's more powerful, it's easier to drive out a demon when the priest does the prayers in Latin, whether silently or not. And an exorcist can tell if somebody's possessed by performing a little trick on the demon by using their pride against them. Because demons are so prideful, they'll actually, a priest will mispronounce the Latin during a session. And you know what the demon will do? They will correct the priest. They'll correct his pronunciation of Latin because they can speak perfect Latin. And so, again, ecclesiastical Latin is efficacious, and the demons know it, and they hate it. Not Cicero Latin, right? We're not talking about the Latin of the Roman Empire. We're talking about ecclesiastical Latin is the language that's effective against the diabolical. That's why, again, it's good to learn the Our Father and the Hail Mary in Latin. It's good to learn those prayers, at least those two prayers in the Glory Be, and say those prayers every single day in the morning and in the evening. You know, demons and angels do not know the future. Only God knows the future. And they start to change our perceptions to things that are negative or twist holy things and make it an evil action. This is called temptation, diabolical temptation. And after a lot of temptation, the person can move into demonic or diabolic obsession. And diabolical obsession is when the demon manifests itself through a human for a short period of time, and the person gets extremely depressed or angry. It kind of imitates the bipolar symptoms, and the diabolic will tempt us to do things, you know, constantly, no matter what. It's just they run a running commentary in our mind, and in rare cases, there is demonic oppression and the highest form of attack of possession. Demonic oppression is when the demons attack our personal lives. This could be our job, our friends, our family, our relationships. Things just seem to fall apart. And demonic possession is when the demon fully takes over us and greatly influences our will. But as I said before, demons fell in ranks. A higher ranked demon will do worse things. Demons are always trying to brag and show off what they do as they possess people, which is useful when we need to get them to manifest, showing themselves through the person so that the priest or yourself, self-deliverance, so that you can drive them out. There's also what we call generational spirits. Generational spirits are when demons attack a family. A demon that constantly attacks a family, typically someone in generations past had a mortal sin and did something bad, and it was passed on for generations. And so this could lead to siblings splitting up, fights at home, and much, much more. So let's talk about some of the ways that we... And again, why am I talking about all this? Father Gabriel Amorth, who was Rome's exorcist for almost 30 years, he wrote, "Theology will be unfinished and incomprehensible until it focuses on the world of the angels." He says, "A Christology that ignores Satan is crippled and will never understand the magnitude of redemption." St. John Paul said, "He who does not believe in the devil does not believe in the Gospels." Close quote. So if you're a Catholic, or you call yourself a Catholic Christian, you must know that the existence of demons is de fide. It defined dogma. In fact, the Fourth Lateran Council declared that Satan and the other devils are, number one, by nature spirits, number two, created by God, number three, originally created good, number four, fell into sin, and five, of their own free will, and six, they're eternally damned. That's the theology of the diabolical in Catholic teaching. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we can do, just some basic stuff that we can do. The holy name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the most perfect prayer. Just saying the name of Jesus is enough to keep demons away, but you got to say it in faith. You can't say it just reflexively. You can't say it faithless. In the book of Acts chapter 19, you have the seven sons of Sceva, Jewish brothers, who were apparently, they were Jewish exorcists. They tried to drive out a demon and say in the name of Jesus. And guess what? They were retaliated against. That means they were physically attacked by demons. Yes, demons can physically attack. That's called retaliation. It's in the Bible. So when we say the holy name of Jesus, you have to say it with faith. And you can say the name of Jesus in any language in faith. Jesus, Jesus. And ti confio, Jesus, I trust in you. Or you can say the name of Jesus in Hebrew. Yeshua, Yeshua. Also, the holy name of Mary drives demons away for the exact same reason that we say the holy name of Jesus. That's why as soon as you feel diabolical affliction, start saying the Hail Marys. If you know them in Latin, better. But the Hail Mary, that prayer contains the name of Our Lady, Mary, and Jesus, within that prayer. You say both those names. So start saying that prayer over and over again, but say it with faith and love and piety. Also, holy water. Every Catholic home should have some holy water. Sprinkle some holy water around your bedroom every night, right before you go to bed. Okay? It's holy water. It's blessed by a Catholic priest. And it's used in exorcisms, minor and major. And this stuff has power over demons to drive them away. And it also reminds us of our baptismal vows. Remember what we said, or our grandparents said, and our parents, do you reject Satan? I do. If you're an adult, you did that as an adult. And baptism is a minor exorcism. So it helps us remind ourselves that we are children of God and we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we're part of the kingdom of light. Also, sacramentals. We're sacramentals. Brown scapular, for example. This is a sacramental, which is an object that reminds us, and it's related to the sacraments. It's extremely important, and Our Lady promised that if you wear it, you won't go to hell if you truly seek God. Okay? You can only go to purgatory, which she will shorten your time there as well. It's a brown rope, and it reminds us of Mary's habit or Mary's clothes. And the demons hate this because they cannot have us if we wear it with piety and faith, because Our Lady is close with us when they see it. And there are promises attached to this brown scapular by Our Lady. Also, the Holy Rosary. Pray this every day. Find time to pray it. Find time. I don't care if it's riding your bike, working out, washing the dishes, doing your bed. The Rosary is one of the most powerful weapons in the world. Not because it's a piece of strings with beads, but because it's used to call upon the most powerful beings in the universe to help us. Okay? And again, this is the biggest torment of Satan. And the Rosary is one of the most powerful prayers in the world. And remember, we can't ignore these things. These things that I just mentioned to you will literally help us fight against the diabolical and all evil. If you ignore what I say to you, and if you ignore to say your prayers three times a day, again, you'll suffer. Again, diabolical affliction. And remember, the demons, seven weapons, seven deadly sins, pride, greed, sloth, wrath, lust, gluttony, and envy. Okay? And the devil, this is a constant weapon they've been using since the beginning of time. And now, they've even upped their ante. It's even worse. Now they're using abortion, terrorism, a secular society, horrible college education, loose morality, Hollywood. We need to fight back by not giving in to these temptations. And it starts with, again, the five things that I just told you. And as a Catholic, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Pray the divine mercy every day. You're saying, man, Jesse, you're giving us a lot of work. Guess what? It works. You're saying, but I'm bored. The devil wants you to say it's boring, so you don't do this. Okay? The fact of the matter is, we're not going to be like mystics. We're not going to be able to see the results of what we're doing in this life, but we'll see it in the next. Fighting evil isn't easy, but it can be made easy when we do all these things. And know this, that we will be rewarded at the end. This is called deferred gratitude. As Catholics, we're called to fight the good fight of faith. Let me end with a Catholic prayer on spiritual warfare. It's called the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. St. Benedict prayer. The cross of our Holy Father Benedict, let the cross, Holy Cross, be my light. Let not the dragon be my guide. Be gone, Satan. Never tempt me with your vanities. What you offer me is evil. You drink the poison yourself. May we be strengthened by his presence at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Anthony, Father, a prayer of exorcism. Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, all you evil spirits. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. That's a wrap. My name is Jesse Romero, Jesus 911. We'll see you next time. Remember, up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. From the Midwest Command Center, stay tuned. One of the greatest apologists in the Catholic Church. But we'll pick this up tomorrow, Jesus 911. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And remember, Acts 2:40, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. St. Padre Pio, pray, hope, and don't worry. God love you.